Samad Aleph, where we were talking about the strange case that the Mishnah gave about somebody who hears a mikzas tkiya inside of the bar, a mikzas tkiya outside of the bar. And again, we mentioned the Rishonim point out, why is it that somebody's blowing shofar by a bar in the first place? Why don't you blow shofar in shul? So the reason for that was because we're describing a shas hashmad. We're talking about a time which was a very difficult time for the Jewish people, and therefore there was some sort of decree against them that they weren't allowed to blow shofar, so they had to find all kinds of strange ways in order to try and perform the mitzvah regardless. So we spoke last week that what if a person hears part of the shofar before Amud HaShachar and part of the shofar after Alos HaShachar? So in that case, the Gemara says, you're not yotzei your mitzvah. Why are you not yotzei your mitzvah? Because all the mitzvahs that have to be performed by Yom have to be done by Yom, and before Alos HaShachar is considered to be Laila, and therefore you would not be able to fulfill your obligation if the shofar was blown partially before and partially after. That's what we spoke about last week. Now, we mentioned at the very end of the shiur, what about if you have in the opposite direction? What about if you have a limitation where the zman tefillah or some zman for a mitzvah is over, but you're going to do part of the mitzvah before the zman is over and part of the mitzvah after the zman is over? Here our Gemara spoke about, what if you do part of the tkiyah before Alos HaShachar and part after Alos HaShachar? But what about the flip case? What about the case where you start to do a mitzvah within the zman, and then the mitzvah carries over until after the zman has already passed? So for example, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Aruch Chaim, Sibin Kuf Yud as follows, B'shas HaDechak. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't really tell us exactly what is considered a shas HaDechak and what is not, but the Shulchan Aruch says, for example, Shehu B'derech, a person is traveling, and they're not just able to stop in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the middle of doing something important, and I can't just stop to daven along Shemona Esrei. And I'm concerned that maybe if I sit to daven my long Shemona Esrei, somebody's going to stop me in the middle. I'm not going to be able to have kavana the way I'm supposed to. Or, says the Shulchan Aruch, if you're the kind of person that simply cannot be having the long Shemona Esrei. Now, I would imagine that's many people that we know are not able to do that. But anyway, the Shulchan Aruch says in such a case, Mispalel achar gimel brachos tefilas havinenu. What you're supposed to do is you say the first three brachos in Shemona Esrei. Those you have to say normally. Then you can say the abridged version of all the middle brachos, which is havinenu, and then you end off the Shemona Esrei also the normal way that you would. So you just cut out. I don't know how long someone's Shemona Esrei is, but if your Shemona Esrei is generally 7 or 8 minutes, you probably just cut out 5 to 6 of the minutes because now you took out all the middle brachos that you normally would have said. So that's what the Shulchan Aruch says. Says the Magen Avraham, not only when you're in a Shas HaDechak, for example, you're concerned maybe you're not going to pay attention, or you happen to be traveling on the road, says the Magen Avraham, in the name of the Knesset HaGdola, Hu Adin Im Hashal Overes. The same would apply if, let's say, it's 3 minutes to Shkia, I don't have time for a 7-minute Shemona Esrei, so what I do is, I'll say the first three brachas of Shemona Esrei, then I'll say Havinenu, and then I'll finish off the last three brachas, and I'll be able to be done by the time the Shkia arrives. Now, says the Aruch HaShulchan, not talking about somebody who the Shkia already passed, because you're not allowed to daven after the Shkia passed. We're talking about somebody who obviously is very close to the Shkia. You only have 3 minutes left. Your Shemona Esrei usually takes you 7 or 8 minutes. You're not going to make it through. Or if you're a kind of person that davened Shemona Esrei in 2 or 3 minutes. So we're talking about where you're 1 minute before the Shkia. So you don't have time to say everything like you normally would. So then, in that case, the Magen Avraham says you have to say the Tfilas Aminen, you have to shorten it. So the Magen Avraham writes this both over here in Siman Kuf Yud, as well as in Siman Peites, as well as in Siman Kuch Chaf Dalid, and the Pri Megadim also has it all over the place, that when we say that there's a Zman Tefillah that has to be met for a particular Tefillah, it means that you have to finish the entire Tefillah before the end of that Zman. Now, people are not careful about this, but this is clear. This is what the Magen Avraham writes, this is what the Pri Megadim writes, and this is what the Mishnah Berurah writes as well, with regard to Hilchos Kriya Shma. The Mishnah Berurah in Siman Nun Hei tells us that when a person has to finish Kriya Shma by the Zman, Kriya Shma means not that you begin the Kriya Shema before that Zman, it's that you finish, that you complete the entire Kriya Shema before that Zman is up. And the Mishnah Berurah even writes in a few places, if a person knows from the outset, that you're not going to be able to finish the entire Shemona Esrei before the Zman is up, you're not even allowed to start. You're not allowed to start, he says. This is the Mishnah Berurah, if you want to look it up, because I see people don't believe me. Mishnah Berurah in Nunches, Sifkat Nei. Mishnah Berurah and Peites Sifkat and Hey, so that's easy to remember. Nunches and Peites, it's the same thing in Hey. And Kuf Yud Aleph Sifkat and Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah writes in 3 different places that if a person knows from the outset that they're not going to be able to complete the entire Shemona Esrei before the Zman is over, you don't have a right to even begin. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says, and that's what many other Acharonim write as well. Now the Magen Avraham extends it even further, and he says, well, not only does it apply to somebody who's going to miss this man of Kriyashma. Not only does it apply to somebody who's going to miss man of Tefillah, but the Magen Avraham says it applies also to somebody who wants to say Kiddush Levana. So how much of Kiddush Levana do I have to say while the moon is visible? Do I just have to begin the Kiddush Levana while the moon is visible? Or do I have to complete the entire Kiddush Levana while the moon is visible? Now, what does the entire Kiddush Levana mean? It doesn't mean all the halalukas and everything. It means the bracha. So sometimes it's a cloudy night. Oh, you come out of shul. Happens to be the Levana's out. Quickly you get a sitter and you start to say, but you know that it's not going to be long before it's going to be covered over. Says the Magen Avraham, no. Magen Avraham tells us that because we have a requirement for being able to see the Levana while you're reciting the Kiddush Levana, therefore that requires us to be able to see it through the entire duration of the bracha. If you know from the outset that you probably are not going to be able to get that, says the Magen Avraham also, you probably should not begin to say the bracha because the whole entire bracha needs to be said within the proper time when the Levana is visible. Yeah. Yeah, that's why it's the Magen Avraham and Mishneh Berurah in so many different places, because they write in Shachris Mincha Ma'ariv Kriyashma. So it's in all the different places because that's what they're emphasizing. There's a similar, a little bit different, but a similar kind of idea that the Shulchan Aruch HaRav talks about. We know that there's an institution sometimes of a Tfilas Nedava. So we have an obligation to daven three times a day, and then there's something called a Tfilas Nedava, which generally we say nowadays, we don't even have Kavana for the one that we're obligated to, so we shouldn't be offering Tfilas Nedava. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says. So nowadays we generally don't do a Tfilas Nedava. However, Tefillas Nedava, every once in a while, we say that a person should do. Let's say you're not sure if you daven something, so maybe a Tefillas Nedava is recommended in a case like that, in whatever in specific instances. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes the following case. What happens if a person is in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei? It just happened to me 2 weeks ago. I couldn't believe it. Someone's in the middle of davening Shemona Esrei, and then they realize halfway through, I davened Shemona Esrei already. I already davened Mincha. Ever happened to anybody? Right? You daven Mincha at work. That's what happened to me. I was in someone's office. We had a shir. I davened Mincha after the shir. And then I came to shul that night. I was speaking between Mincha and Ma'arav. I went and I davened Shemona Esrei again. And I realized halfway through the Shemona Esrei that I already davened Mincha earlier, so I didn't know what to do. So the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes in Hilchos Tefillah, in a case like that, you have to stop right in the middle. You can't continue and finish off and say, well, why would you finish off? What do you mean? I davened already. You would finish off because Tefillas Nedava. No! If you're davening a Tefillas Nedava, it has to be the entire Tefillah, has to be Tefillas Nedava. You can't have half a Tefillah, Tefillas Nedava, and half a Tefillah, Tefillas Chova. What kind of Tefillah is that? It's the same as the Magen Avraham. You can't have half a Tefillas Mincha that's going to be during the day, and half a Tefillas Mincha that's going to be by night. You can't have half of a Kriyat Shema that's going to be within this man and half without. You have to do everything within this man, and also the Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, similar, that you also have to have the entire Tefillah be of one context, of one either Chova or of one Nedava, but you cannot split in the middle. So in a case such as Shulchan Aruch HaRav writes, if a person realizes that they're in the middle of Shemona Esrei and they already daven, stop right where you are. The brachas that you said might be a bracha levatela, but whatever, it is what it is. I just came back from Eretz Yisrael this morning. I was there for 3 days. I'm sorry, this afternoon. I got home at 6 o'clock. So I did see on the plane that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes, I just saw this, Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach writes in the Halicha Shlomo, that if a person has a situation like that, where let's say in a different case, let's say if, just mentioning it because it's of interest, let's say a person forgets Talmud Mutter, so now they have to repeat Shemona Esrei, they realize after they're done. So he wants to know, someone asked him, do those count for Mea Brachos or not? Right, so Rav Shlomo Zalman said it's not, for some reason, it's not a Bracha Levatala when I forget Talmud Mutter and I have to daven again, and therefore he says those would count for the Mea Brachos, which to me was a big Kiddush, but that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says. Mincha Tamariv is a really good shaila. So I'll tell you a great story. Mincha Tamariv is a very good story. So what happened was, I was learning in Eretz Yisrael when I was 19, and I was learning with somebody else, and we used to learn together with a very chashav rav. We didn't learn together in the mir. We learned together by the shul near his house. That's where we used to learn in the afternoon. Now there was a shtibel in that shul also, so some of the times when we were there, we would catch a mincha, we'd catch a marv, whatever it was. But it was a chesidish shtibel, so we were always thrown off. We didn't know what they were up to, mincha or marv. So what happened was the following. One day, we had daven mincha in the Mir Yeshiva. Then we came, after we finished davening mincha, we came to learn with this Talmud Chacham over there. And the problem was that he came late, so we figured, well, once he's late, we may as well go daven. So we went to go daven bidas that we were davening marv. I'm sorry, no. We were davening al-das to daven. So we came in. Here's what happened. We came in. No, we came in. I knew I had already davened mincha. So I came in, I'll dash the daven marv. It wasn't the right thing to do. They were already up to Shmona Esrei. I figured if I don't daven now, I'm going to forget to daven later. So I figured I'll chapa Shmona Esrei. The way you do, you know, when you're single. I don't know. When you're married, you shouldn't do these things anymore. But that's what I did. Now my friend realized, what do you mean? We're davening mincha here. We're not davening marv. But, I mean, to me, it was 45 minutes after Shkia, so I couldn't think otherwise. But he forgot that he had davened mincha earlier. So he walked in, I'll das the daven marv. Now, one second. He walked in, I'll das the daven mincha. So now we walked away. Now we finished quiet Shmona Esrei, and the guy starts Chazar Zoshatz. So my shayla was, am I yotze tefila b'tzibur? I was davening mincha, they were davening, I'm sorry, I was davening marv, they were davening mincha. So that was my question. That's mefurish, that you're yotze tefila b'tzibur, even when the tzibur is doing something else. Fine. Where the normal case of that is, when you have a situation of musaf and shachris, and you're davening a Shmona Esrei for the other one. This case isn't such a normal case, because you're not supposed to be davening mincha marv at the same time. But anyway, so that's with regard to my shayla. Mine was the easy one. His shayla was, he davened mincha already. Now he davened a Shmona Esrei, which he thought was mincha. So he wanted to know, but he davened in this man of marif. So can he count that? He didn't say anything differently. It's not like the night was Rosh Chodesh or the day was Rosh Chodesh. Can he count his Shmona Esrei as being a Shmona Esrei for marif, even though he had intention to daven mincha? That was his shot. So this was... What? It didn't happen in the middle of Shmona Esrei. He realized after they finished quiet Shmona Esrei, they started Chazar Sashatz. So middle Shmona Esrei is a different story. But here, he was at the end, so he wanted to know. Now he finished the whole Shmona Esrei. He had in mind to daven a different tefillah. And the question was, can that count for his Ma'ariv or not? So this was a great question. So we didn't know what to do. So we, so this was a Shaila that really made its way around Yerushalayim. It was a very interesting Shaila. So we called, I don't know if anybody knows, there's a Sefer on Hilchos Tefillah. If you don't have it, you should have it. It's an amazing Sefer. Probably the most comprehensive Sefer on Hilchos Tefillah, called Ishei Yisrael. So he came up with every situation under the sun, everything you can ever think of. So we looked in there, he's got to have something, and he doesn't have anything. So we called him up. His number's in the front of the safe. We called him up. We said, you're, you know, Rabbi Tefillah man, whatever, you got to have this case. What do you think? So he says, that's amazing. Shaila, he doesn't know what the psak is. He said, how can it be? You wrote a safer on Hilchos Tefillah. Everybody uses your safer. You don't know what the psak is. We're the only ones that ever made this mistake. So he didn't know what to do. So then there was a Rav in the Mir who very much enjoys Geshmaka Shailas and Big Tumel, so we called him Rav Nissen Kaplan. I don't know if anybody knows him. So we called him up and we asked him, what do you say about this? He says, oh, this is such a great Shaila. He called up Rav Neuvert. He was very close with Rav Neuvert, so he called up Rav Neuvert to ask him what's the dinner. Rav Neuvert said he doesn't know. So everybody's saying they don't know, they don't know, they don't know. Somebody called a posuk in Bnei Brak, I don't know. They made a whole big deal out of this. Lamaisa, nobody knew what to do. So that night, Reb Nissen Kaplan calls me a minute after Chatzos HaLaila. And he says to me, Nu, what was the psak? Once it's Chatzos, it's too late to daven marv. What do you tell him to do? So I told him that we called my father, which we should have done in the first place. So we called my father, and my father said the following. My father told us that it's Tali in 2 days in Reb Chaim. Why? Because my father suggested the following. What happens? It's an unbelievable insight. So Reb Nissen Kaplan finally agreed that my father's a genius, a big Talmud Chacham, because he said, oh, you see, nobody else can come up with this, but it's a good raya. What happens if a person davens Shmona Esrei on Matzah Shabbos and forgets Atachan Antanu? What's the din? You don't have to repeat. You just say it in Avdala. What if a person forgot to daven Mincha on Shabbos afternoon? What do you do? So you daven two Shmona Esrei on Matzah Shabbos. Now, do you say Atachan Antanu or not? So the answer is you say Atachan Antanu in the first, and you don't say Atachan Antanu in the second, right? Because the second one is a Tashlumin for Mincha, so you don't say Atachan Antanu twice. What if you said Atachan Antanu in both or in neither? What? Yer Yotze. Why? Because it's not going to ruin the Shmona Esrei. Correct. So you yotze the Shmona Esrei. So if you say Atachan Antanu in both or in neither, so you yotze the Shmona Esrei. What happens if you say Atachan Antanu in neither or in both, but you had Kavana in the wrong direction? So you daven Mariv Shmona Esrei and Tashlumin Shmona Esrei is the way you're supposed to do it. But instead you have Kavana by your first Shmona Esrei, and again, the Shmona Esreis are identical. Either you say Atachan Antanu in both or Atachan Antanu in neither. But you have Kavana for the wrong one at the wrong time. So the first Shmona Esrei that you daven, you say, oh, now I'm having in mind to make up for the mincha that I missed today. and the second Shmona Esrei that you daven, you're having in mind, now I'm davening Marv Shmona Esrei from Matzah Shabbos. So is that Kavana, even though there was nothing different in the words that you said in the Shmona Esrei, is the Kavana enough to ruin your Shmona Esrei that you daven, or not? That is 2 days in the Acharon. And my father said, what you see from that Machlokas is that sometimes a Kavana alone can ruin a Shmona Esrei, even if you don't say anything different. It's a brilliant Raya. So my father said, what you see is over here as well, whether or not you wanted to daven Mincha or Maariv might make a difference, even though the Shmona Esrei are exactly identical, they're exactly the same. But because you may have had in mind to daven the wrong one, who said it can count for Maariv, if even though you're davening at this Zman of Maariv, it might not count, because you thought you were davening Mincha, even though you davened Mincha already. For those that didn't follow, whatever, make sure it doesn't happen to you. But it was a very interesting story. So
what did he say?
So my father himself holds like the Mechudishtik at Tzad in that Reb Chaim, that Kavana could ruin a Shmona Esrei. So he said, I don't know who it is, but he said to me, if he's a Talmud of mine and you're asking the Shaila of me, I would say he should repeat. But if you're asking the Shaila of somebody else who might hold like the other side, so then, you know, he said, if he's not a Talmud of mine, I don't know, maybe he should, say that it's Chashash Bracha Levatola, don't rely on my Psak, do whatever he wants, you know, but that was an interesting Shaila. So that was what happened. Davening a Shmona Esrei, a Tefillas, and a Devil with a Tanai. Well, if you hold that the Kavana doesn't ruin it, so then there's no reason to do anything. The Kavana doesn't make a difference. You daven the Shmona Esrei, it's good enough.
Yeah, but you can have the
Sofer. We generally don't do Tefillas and Devil.
Yeah, but if you have a Sofer, you always make a Tefillas.
This might not even be a Sofer. This might be a Milsa de Pshita. That's the Shaila. That's exactly the Shaila. Anyway, so the problem is, so we're talking about, where had we get into this? Not sure exactly. Anyway, so what we're talking about here is what happens if you start a tefillah before the Zman tefillah is over, and then it spills over after the Zman tefillah is already out, after it's finished. So there, all the Acharonim basically write, basically most of the Gedolei HaPoskim that we would follow, the Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, the Chayei Adam, and the Prima Gadim, they all write that you have to finish within the Zman, the complete Shmona Esrei, the entire Kriya Shema, everything has to be done. The problem is, you look in Shulchan Aruch Hilchos Shabbos, Shulchan Aruch seems to say something completely different. Misha Shalis Bala Mincha B'Erev Shabbos. Nobody here would ever walk in late on Erev Shabbos. But once in a while you see somebody in the back of Shul who comes in late after we already started davening Kabbalah Shabbos. So what happens? Kiblu HaKahala Shabbos. We already were Mekabla Shabbos. Lo Yisbala Mincha B'Osa Beis HaKnesses. If you miss Mincha and we're already up to Kabbalah Shabbos, you shouldn't daven Mincha with us. Ela Yelech Chutz L'Osa Beis HaKnesses. Yisbala Tefillah Shachol. You should daven somewhere else. Okay. Aval imanav kibul shabbos imayim. If you're ready, we're makabel shabbos with the tzibur, and then you realize you didn't have a mincha, so then you're up the creek, then you have problems. Okay. Now, what happens? Bala beis haknesses samach lekabelas tzibur shabbos. So what happens? I come into shul late, but the tzibur didn't yet say mizmar shir. But I know they're about to say mizmar shir in another 2 minutes. I'm not going to be able to say mincha shmona esrei in 2 minutes. So what do I do then? What should the psak be? Don't say what? Go outside, or don't say at all. Why? The same way, if you're not going to be able to complete Mincha or Maariv or Kriya Shema within this Zman, so to over here, if you're not going to be able to finish Mincha and Erev Shabbos within this Zman before we're Mekabel Shabbos, so it should be over. That's what I should have said. But yet the Shulchan Aruch says no. Maschil is Spala Mincha. You begin the Mincha as usual. Athol Pisha Ba'odim is Spala Yikabel Atzibra Shabbos. Even though halfway through Meshmona Esrei, it's going to be Shabbos. No, we're talking, let's say, it's really going to be Shabbos. You know, we're really going to be Mekabel Shabbos. So why is that case different? Why do we assume in that case that I'm allowed to go ahead and be davening the Mincha of Erev Shabbos even though I know that halfway through it's going to become Shabbos? So what's the pshat? Why should that case be different than any of these?
Because you're starting Shabbos early.
So let's say that's what he mentioned. So what if you're not starting Shabbos early? We're talking in the winter, it's the real Zman of Shabbos, and you're not starting early. So why should the Shabbos case be different than Shachris Mincha Maariv Kriya Shema? Why should that be any different? So the answer is as follows. The answer is that the Gemara tells us, when you think about it, really, on Shabbos, why do we not daven Shmona Esrei like normal? What, we don't have needs on Shabbos? We don't need Chonin Adas? We don't need Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha V'Lirishalayim Mircha? These don't bother us on Shabbos? So why do we assume that on Shabbos we don't say it? Says the Gemara, really, on Shabbos we should say it. But lo atrichu rabbanon. The rabbanon know that davening is very long for us, and they don't want to have a long Shmona Esrei on Shabbos. So therefore, they made a shorter Shmona Esrei. That's what the Gemara says. So really, me'ikar adin, We are chayiv, we are obligated to daven a normal Shmona Esrei on Shabbos as well, just like during the week. Just that they gave us a p'tur, and they said, because we know that we don't want you to spend all day davening in shul, so therefore we're going to make a shorter Shmona Esrei. We don't want you to work too hard, we don't want you to daven too much, we want you to enjoy Shabbos and not be bothered with shul too much. That's what the Gemara tells us in Maseches Brachos. And therefore, when you come to a case like this, and the person is in a dilemma, I know I'm about to start the Shmona Esrei, but I'm not going to have enough time to finish it, should I start it all? The answer is yes, because that's not like starting before the end of Zman. Because over here, really, does Zman, even on Shabbos, you're allowed to daven this kind of Shmona Esrei. So let's say you're Tosefet Shabbos a few minutes early, whatever, so it's not Shkia. Yeah? What do you mean? He's going to daven Shabbos? He's going to daven Friday night Shmona Esrei after. The rabbi is going to give a half hour drasha in between. Yeah. Okay. So again, if you start after Shabbos already comes in, so they assume you have to daven a Shabbos Shmona Esrei. But if you're starting before the Merkabah Shabbos, just you're not going to be able to finish in the middle, right? You're not going to be able to finish before the... Okay. What do you mean? You're going to daven the Friday night Shmona Esrei? That's because the Zman, that's because this Shmona Esrei doesn't apply after that. But over here on Shabbos, this Shmona Esrei really does apply. This Shmona Esrei really should be said on Shabbos.
Is that
the Shmona, before you get to the Nusach HaMekadosh HaShabbos, we should have all been saying the regular Shmona Esrei that we say during the week. We should say it on Shabbos as well. The Gemara just says that Lo Atshuchu Rabbanan. So now we have a new Nusach of Shmona Esrei for Shabbos. That's what we do. But because of that, it means Shabbos really is this month to say the Shmona Esrei, and therefore we don't assume that the cutoff should be something that should stop us from reciting the Shmona Esrei. Anyway, it's an interesting halacha, but this is why the Rambam says, let's say a person, the Shulchan Aruch says like this, let's say a person in the middle of davening on Friday night realizes that instead of saying the Shabbos Shmona Esrei, they say the weekday Shmona Esrei, you finish up the bracha that you're in the middle of, you don't stop in the middle and start davening over, why not? You said the wrong Shmona Esrei. Let's say on Yom Tov, if you say Shabbos Shmona Esrei, you'd have to start over. So why do we assume over here that you don't? The answer is because, really, Meikra Din, Shabbos, you're also supposed to say the regular Shmona Esrei. Just La Trichu Rabbanon, so therefore we have a different Nusach.
And we're not worried about Kavanah, that your Kavanah really is for
Meaning when you're davening, you're saying a person who makes a mistake on Friday night and davens Mincha Shmona Esrei. So is that really my kavana, or do people just are not paying attention at all? You hear what I'm saying? Am I really being mechaven for Mincha, or am I just not having kavana at all? There's a big difference, because. No, no, not that case. He's talking about the other case. Let's say a person on Shabbos makes a mistake and davens regular weekday Shmona Esrei. So does that mean I have kavana for a weekday Shmona Esrei, meaning I think I'm davening mincha, or do I have just no kavana at all, like many people we know? Right? So that's a shaila. Anyway, so most achronim say that you have to finish everything within the proper zman. There is a group of achronim who bring an unbelievable raya that this is not the case. They bring a raya from none other than Bilam HaRasha. Bring a raya from Bilam HaRasha that you're allowed to begin a tefillah within a zman, even though you're going to finish after this man, but as long as you started within this man, it's okay. How can you bring a raya from Bilam HaRasha? So the Gemara says as follows. The Gemara says that Kel Zoim B'chol Yom. The Gemara says in Brachos Daf Zayin, the Ribbono Shel Olam gets angry every day. Ask the Gemara, Kama Zamo. How long is that anger? Split second, says the Gemara. One fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a minute, that's how much God gets angry every day. And the only one who knew that moment was Bilam. And that's why they hired Bilam to go and curse the Jewish people, because he was going to curse them at that moment when it was Zamo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Frektos is Akasha, such an obvious question. If it's only a half a split second, that's the time of anger, what can you possibly say in a half a second? So it's very nice you want to hire Bilam to curse the Jewish people. What can he possibly do? What can he accomplish in that half a second? So Tosas answers, the first answer is that he said Kalem, which means destroy them. So it only takes a half a second to say that, even though it doesn't. But it takes a half a second to say that, and since the half a second of when the Ribbono Shel Olam gets angry, so it worked out. The second answer Tosas gives is what? He started at the Zman of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's anger, and it went over until after that Zman was over. But as long as he started within that Zman, that's good enough. Oh! Say some of the Achronim, what do you mean? You see from here, you're able to start a tefillah within a Zman, even though you're going to continue it after the Zman is over, but as long as you start within the Zman, it's good enough. Brilliant. It's brilliant. This is what some Achronim want to say. This is what the Aruch HaShulchan wants to say. Aruch HaShulchan is...
They're not the same case.
Oh.
One is when you're allowed to say it, the other one is to catch God at the right moment.
Correct.
Two different cases.
Correct. So... You know, some Achronim have this raya. Some Achronim want to say that this should be the case by Hilchos Tefillah as well. And they quoted from, you know, anyone who's a little bit chassidim here, they quoted from the Yidah Kaddish Mipshischa. Anybody knows anything about the Yidah Kaddish? So that's what they say, said the Schiddish. That's what some Achronim quote. Okay, so it might be a chassidish pshetel. I don't know. That's what they say. But, so I don't know. That to me was very surprising. And Rabbi Yosef Engel wants to say it as well. I don't know. To me, it's a very big chiddush. It's very interesting. But my father said when they told this over to Rav Soloveitchik, he laughed in the face, and he didn't believe that anyone ever even thought of saying such a thing. He didn't have the sperm that we have now, and he said like exactly what you're arguing. He said, "What's the connection over there? You're talking about trying to catch God in the right time. So as long as you catch him then, but you continue, that's good enough. You got him. But over here, we're talking about once this man is over, this man is over. You can't continue. You can't." Assume that just because you started within the right Zman, that's going to be good enough. Now, this discussion about starting within the right Zman is something that applies not only over here to Hilchos Tefillah, it's something that applies to other things as well. Let's say by Birchas HaMazons, this week's Parsha, Achalta v'Savata v'Irachta, we have an obligation, we have a requirement to bench within the time of Kedei Sviya. Kedei Sviya means, generally we assume, is 72 minutes. So let's say some Achronim say, Pana Meira says a Shaila, that the Achronim quote, what about if a person eats and then they vomit? So, does it go to the achila? Do we assume, well, v'achalta v'savata v'erachta, at the time I was full? Or do you say, no, you vomited 20 minutes later, so now you have nothing in the system. You're not kedei svi anymore, so you don't bench. So this is a big shaila in the achronim. What do we assume is the determining factor? So this is a shaila in the Minchas Chinuch. It's a shaila in many achronim where they talk about. And basically the assumption that they make is you have to do an achila that is maybe lidei svi. You have to do some kind of eating which is going to satiate you. So it's not that the achila alone obligates you, and it's not that the svia alone obligates you. Let's say a person is on IV, so they feel full. I don't know. Does a person feel full when they're on IV? Not sure exactly. Or on a tube. Let's say they have a tube. So that's the question. So if a person has, what is it, a G-tube is what they use for the feeding? What?
Yeah.
So a G-tube, if they have that, so I understand that a person feels full after they are fed through that. So would you say that a person should bench now? That's not v'achalta, but it's v'savata. So which one is it? So I think the general understanding of the Achronim is you have to do an achila. It has to go through the regular derech achila that you normally would do, but it's only an achila that's maybe lidei svia, that's going to satiate you, that's going to fill you up. So that's basically the understanding. So Rabbi Akiva Eiger has the following shaila. So what happens if you have a katan who eats on the day of his bar mitzvah? He eats a big meal. He eats a big meal, and now he turns bar mitzvah. And it's within the 70 minutes. Now, the katan's not going to sit around and wait for the benching. He's going to bench right away. He goes and eats his pizza at 6 o'clock in the afternoon. And now he benches. But now at 7 o'clock is already the shkia. It's within 72 minutes. Now he becomes a gadol. So the question is, now he's obligated midaraisa to bench because he's still full. But he only benched midirabbanan. He can't have a katan midirabbanan be motzi himself as a gadol midaraisa if it's still kedei svia. So that's the shaila that Rabbi Akiva Eiger has. What would he do in a case like that? Should we assume that he has to bench again? Should we assume that the katan has to bench again because the benching that he did wasn't able to take care of his chiyuv that he now has midaraisa? Very gishmaka shaila. But so that's the question. What's the machayiv? Is the machayiv the achila or is it the svia? So it can't be the svia alone because then someone who's having a G2 should also have to bench. And it can't be the achila alone because then someone who vomits should have to bench. So it has to be some sort of medium, somewhere in between. So we assume that if you eat something that's going to satiate you for 72 minutes, then that's considered an achila, maybe lidei svia. But what if a person in between those 72 minutes has some kind of status change? Or they talk about, let's say, a nachri, right? Before he goes into the mikvah, he goes and he has a whole meal. Now he comes out, he's still satiated, he's still full. So would you assume that now he has to go and bench? Now that he became a Yisrael, now that he's Jewish, should he have to go ahead and bench now because he ate when he was B'nachar Yusso? So this is an interesting shaila. But the question is,
he didn't do both. He didn't do both when he was a Jew or a
mm-hmm.
He didn't do both. He only
right.
did one. So he doesn't have a chiyuv as a gadol.
Right. So that's the big shaila. So this is a big discussion. They discuss all these issues. But what's fascinating is the other discussion. What about, along the same lines, but what about a person who realizes at 69 minutes, oh yeah, I didn't bench, I forgot. I had pizza 69 minutes ago, I didn't bench, I forgot all about it. Takes me 5 minutes to bench at least. Right, I'm not going to bench in 30 seconds, so what am I supposed to do? I don't have 5 minutes left until this Kadei Sviya is over, so maybe I should bench because as long as I'm starting in the right amount, it's good enough. Or you say, no, if you're not going to be able to complete the entirety of the benching within the 72 minutes, maybe you don't start at all. So these are all very, very interesting shailas that all boil down to the same question. Should we assume that as long as you start something within the right amount, that's good enough? Or do you say, no, starting alone is not good enough. You have to complete the entirety of the mitzvah that you're about to do. With the completion, everything has to be done before this man is up. Yeah?
Is benching a little different? Is half of it Doraisa, half
is Doraisa? So what do you want to argue? In which direction?
You have 3 minutes, you know, 2 minutes, and you say the Doraisa part, and okay, you lose out the Doraisa.
I don't think so, because I think we have other cases. I'm trying to remember offhand, but I think we do find other cases where the Chachamim came along and told us how we're supposed to obligate, how we're supposed to fulfill a particular obligation, and they added onto it. Let's say, for example, oh no, bench. That's the example. The Netziv talks about the example. Thank you. The Netziv talks about the example. A person who's mesupik whether or not they benched, right? So you're not sure whether or not you benched. So what's the general halacha? Savik brachas lahaka, but savik deraisa lachumra. So benching, what do you say? What is it? So what do you say? So the Netziv says, nobody in their right mind would say you should only say the first bracha of benching because Moshe Rabbeinu tikkun the first bracha of benching. Nobody would say that. Everyone agrees. Once you're obligated to say, you have to say everything. Why do you have to say everything? What do you mean? This is only the Rabbanan. Everyone agrees the end of benching is only the Rabbanan and the beginning is only the Raisa. So the answer is no, because once the Chachamim told us and established what exactly the nusach of benching is supposed to be, so now midaraisa, on a deraisa level, the whole benching is considered all one unit. Or you take, for example, the Rambam says, very fascinating, the Rambam. The Rambam has in Ilchus Kriyashma. So if a person is a Safik Kara Kriyashma, Safik Lo Kara, what does he do? Person's not sure whether or not they said Kriyashma. What? You have to do it again. You have to say it again. Why? Because Safik Deraisa Lechumra. That's the regular din. Kriyashma is not the Rabban, it's Deraisa. But the Rambam adds in, you have to say it with all the brachas again. With the brachas? What do you mean? The brachas? Nobody says the brachas are Deraisa. Birchas Kriyashma, you have to say again? Why do you have to say it again? That doesn't make sense. So some achronim write, that's because the Chachamim told us that Kriyashma cannot just be said in a vacuum. Kriyashma has to be said in the context of all the brachas. And therefore, if you don't have the brachas before and the brachas after and everything along with it, that's not called a good Kriyashma. Even though on a level of Deraisa, you did everything you were supposed to do. You didn't have to do anything else. But yet, we assume that in order to really fulfill your obligation properly, you have to do it not just the Kriyashma alone, you have to do it along with everything else that comes with it. And that's why there are those who are of the opinion, there are some Rishonim in the beginning of Maseches Brachos and some Achronim who assume like this, that if a person, let's say, is davening at a minyan, where, let's say, early Shabbos, so they make an announcement, everyone should repeat Kriya Shema after a certain time. So is that really good enough? What? Same thing with Shacharis, right? Let's say they say, Zaman Kriya Shema is at a certain time, you better say Kriya Shema before you come to shul. Is that good enough? What do you mean? You have to say, the Rambam says over here, person is suffic cover Kriya Shema, suffic lo cover. He has to go back and say not only the Kriya Shema, you have to go back and say the brachas also. So don't you see that that's an integral part of the Kriya Shema itself? So if I have a problem on Friday night that I have to repeat Kriya Shema because I daven too early, or I have to say Kriya Shema before I come to shul in the morning because I'm davening too late, why is that good enough? But from the outset, maybe that's not what I should be doing. So my father holds like those achronim, let's say on Friday night. So there are some who say, some Rishonim say like this in the beginning of Bracha, so my father actually does this, that when he davens at a minyan early Shabbos, he leaves out the whole Birchas Kriya Shema with Kriya Shema, he doesn't say anything, he just answers Baruch Hu, daven Shmona Esrei with minyan, and later, when he repeats Kriya Shema, he doesn't repeat, he never said in the first place, he says everything, all the Birchas Kriya Shema together with the Kriya Shema, again, based on this Rambam. It's not just based on the Rambam that has a nice shtickle Torah, it's the Rishonim right in the beginning of Maseches Brachos, that maybe that makes sense, because when a person, once the Chachamim, again, it brings your point home, once the Chachamim instituted that this is the right way you're supposed to perform the mitzvah, now that becomes an integral part of it, even though it started off only being midrabanan. So that's why the Rambam says, Safik kar kibin shema, Safik lo kar, you have to go back. That's why the Netziv argues that when you have a Safik berachas hamazon and Safik lo piyurich, you don't just say the beginning of it, you have to say everything over, even though Safik berachas lakal, even though Safik derabanan lakula. But still, we assume once you have a Safik in a mitzvah daraisa, you have to go back and do everything, not just the bare minimum that you would have said. Yeah.
On Shabbos,
talking meal before Shabbos is over, and it's Rosh Chodesh, and then Shabbos is over, and you still haven't finished the meal. Even though Shabbos is over, you still say Tzei and Yal V'Yavo.
So that's a major machlokas harishonim. That's a major machlokas harishonim. What do? You have, and it's not just when Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, it's a shaila every Shabbos. There's a shaila in the Rishonim whether you say Ritzei after. Let's say you didn't bench before Shkia. So do you, so we paskin basar tchilas asudas lidam, we go after the beginning. So since you started eating on Shabbos, therefore you say Ritzei. But it's a big machlokas harishonim. My father used to go every once in a while in the summers. He'd go learn with Rav Soloveitchik in Onset in Boston. So one year, they were learning with him during the day, and then they hadn't eaten lunch or something, so they came to eat, I guess, a lupper, whatever you call it, a meal at the end of the day. And Rav Soloveitchik's mother was there. The wife of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was there, and she started yelling at them. Where's the Yira Shamayim? What's with you guys? Don't you know tonight is Rosh Chodesh? You're not allowed to eat Ben Hashmashas. You're getting involved in the Machlokas HaRishonim. Why are you doing that? So my father took that as a big Musar, and from that time on, he never again, even Shabbos, he never eats Shalosh Shudas. Again, we paskin Meikar Adin, as long as he started within the Zman, So you can say Ritzei as well. But if you don't want to get involved in Machlokas HaRishonim, she was saying, where's the Yira Shamayim? What are you getting involved in a Suffolk? You should eat like a mensch, either before the Shkia or after the Shkia. You don't get involved in a Zman that's Suffolk, that's a big Machlokas. Either you know you have to say Yal V'Yav, or you don't know you have to say Yal V'Yav, but you shouldn't start getting involved in Machlokas here. So again, my father himself is very careful. He has a lot of Yira Shamayim, so he's very careful. And he, every Shabbos, eats and benches the Shalosh Shudas before Shkia is over. I don't think we all have to do that. I think most of us, have other things we need to work on before we get to that. But so we generally hold in a case like Shabbos that you say Ritzei even though you're benching after the Shkia. Shaila is, what do you do when you have Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh that are coming together? That's the big Shaila. That's the big Shaila. What do you do? Again, there's someone who had a great Shaila last week. Not last week. When did we have Rosh Chodesh? Last Rosh Chodesh was on Friday. So somebody had a Shaila. I don't know if anybody was there at the Minyan. A guy walked up to me Friday night, right after we said Baruch Hu in Shul. Before we started Berachos Kriyat Shema, Friday night he walked over to me. Now, he didn't realize I don't say Berachos Kriyat Shema Friday night, so I could talk as much as I want. So he walked over to me Friday night after Baruch Hu, that he said it was early Shabbos. He just realized that he forgot Yalav Yavon and Shemana Esrei on Friday afternoon. So what do you advise? What do you tell him to do? Right? You can't make a Tefillas Adav on Shabbos, generally. You don't make a Tefillas Adav on Shabbos. But he missed the Mincha. He missed Mincha because he didn't say Yalav Yavo. But it's still early. It's still light outside. He can't go outside. He was Mekabel Shabbos already. He was Mekabel Shabbos with everybody else. And he realized after he said Baruch Hu that he forgot Yalav Yavo and Shemana Esrei. That's a great Shaila. So do you say Yalav Yavo in the Shabbos Shemana Esrei? So here's the Shaila. What do you do on a normal Shabbos like that? When you have Friday afternoon is Rosh Chodesh, and Friday night is no longer Rosh Chodesh, but you're making early Shabbos. What do you do in your Ma'ariv Shemona Esrei? Really?
No.
I like your answer.
Wait, for a Friday night?
Rosh Chodesh is Friday.
Oh, no, you don't. Okay.
So my father's of the opinion that you didn't get rid of Rosh Chodesh. It's Rosh Chodesh and a Shabbos. So you say Yalav Yavo and Yom Tov, and you say a Shabbos Shemona Esrei with Yalav Yavo. Now it's a Chiddush. It's a big Chiddush. Right. So over there, what do we do? Over there, when it's Friday, when it's, what does everybody do? No, we don't. What does everybody do by Shalosh Shudas when Matzah Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh? And you're eating at a Chassidus Shalosh Shudas and they're going late and everyone's eating the herring and everything, right? What do you do in benching? So you say both. It's not a Tarti the Sasri. You do say both.
You don't.
What do you mean?
What do you mean?
When you have a case like that where you eat Shalosh Shudas on Shabbos, and you continue Shalosh Shudas into Matzah Shabbos. It's dark. It's dark outside. What do you say in the benching? That's a big machlokas. What do you mean? So most people are responsible, and they make sure to stop eating before the Shkia. This way they don't get involved. So you're only going to bench after the Shkia. Okay, so that's a half of a Shaila. But what if you're eating? What if you're eating after the Shkia? How can you say you're not going to bench with Yalav Yavo if you're eating after the Shkia? So your obligation for the benching was partially after the Shkia, right?
Yeah,
but it's Shabbos going in.
It's now Matzah Shabbos
bench.
So then it's not
going to
be inconsistent.
Again, if it was Shabbos.
Shabbos is ending.
Right.
You're continuing to eat. You're not going to now
Because now that you're teaching, it's not Rosh Chodesh. Right? There's no such thing as a Tosefes Rosh Chodesh. There is such a thing as a Tosefes Shabbos. That's why.
In the benching, what, from Shabbos, Shabbos is over.
Right.
And Rosh Chodesh is over. You're going to still say Ritzei in Yalvi Yavo.
You're going to say Ritzei in Yalvi Yavo when Shabbos is Rosh Chodesh.
You started with Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh.
Uh-huh.
So why would you do it the opposite way?
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Interesting. So this is, as you can see, this was a very complicated Shaila. So... So this is a major, major shaila. So what he asked ended up becoming a major problem, because apparently I gave him a psak that wasn't so clear. And it ended up being, I asked Rav Asher Weiss, he was here the next day, that was Sunday is when Rav Asher Weiss spoke here, so I asked him, he said, no, in a case like that, Mubus Layachaliskon, it's too bad, he messed it up, there's no way of fixing it. Why is there no way of fixing it? Because... Because already Shabbos, there's no Tfilas Nedav on Friday night. And so you missed the Yalav Yavah, so you're out for Mincha, and that's it. Too late. What are you going to do? When can you do a Tashlumin? You're only allowed to do a Tashlumin on the next Tfilah. On the next Tfilah, but there's no Tfilas Nedav on Friday night. You're not allowed to make a Tfilas Nedav on Shabbos. Anyway, it was a very interesting Shiloh. We had three different opinions. One of the Rabbanim here in the Shul said the wrong thing, absolutely wrong thing. He said... You should say Yalav Yavo in the second Shemona Esrei and no Yalav Yavo in the first. That was for sure wrong. That was for sure wrong. He said you should daven a Friday night regular Shemona Esrei, and then for the Tfilas Nedava you should daven with the Yalav Yavo. That's a Tarti Desasri. That's a Tarti Desasri. I'm not attacking him. I'm just saying that's for sure not an option to say Yalav Yavo in the second, not the first. Arya Leibowitz said he would have said like me. I called him on Sunday. He said he would have said like me, which was to daven two Shemona Esreis with Yalav Yavo in both. And my father, what?
My wife had the same thing. She was a couple
of thousand
months and she forgot.
Right. Right. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says. But the Shaar Tzion there, but the Shaar Yeshuva there disagrees. Shaar Yeshuva there says you have to daven again, but he doesn't say what to do. He just says you have to daven again. So it's a Machlokes HaAchronim there. So Arya Leibowitz said he would have said like me, which is that you should daven a double Shemona Esrei. Double Shemona Esrei.
Double
Shabbos Shemona Esrei. And put Yalav Yavo in both, based on the Chiddush of my father, that you would say Yalav Yavo on an early Shabbos Friday night also. So that's what I told him to do. I said that. I called my father Matzah Shabbos. He said, you're saying that in my name? What are you talking about? So he was very upset. He said that that you should have davened only one Shemona Esrei for Mariv and said Yalav Yavo in that Shemona Esrei, but he shouldn't have made up the other one. My father had a chiddush on top of a chiddush to explain why he thought that was the proper psak. But anyway, as you see, this shaila was a very, very interesting shaila. I see this sugya took us much longer than I expected tonight. So Mirza Shem will meet up again, not next week, but the week after. We'll continue here on Chaf Ches Amid Aleph. But basically, we should follow the general psak of the Magen Avraham and the Mishneh Berurah and the Prima Gadim, that when you have a zman tefillah that a person is required to daven within, you should try and do the entirety of the tefillah within that zman. And not wait until afterward. Maybe we'll collect those.